All right, so get this. Today we're going deep into something you probably never think about,
Okay.
but use every single day.
I'm intrigued.
Injection mold design.
Ah, interesting.
And even more specifically than that, we're going to be talking about pressure balance control.
Okay.
You know, the unsung hero behind making sure all those plastic products
Right.
you use are actually high quality.
It is pretty amazing how much engineering goes into making, like,
Yeah.
a simple plastic bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Our listener wants to understand this process, of
Of course.
course, and I've got to admit, I'm pretty curious myself.
Yeah.
They send over some sources that really get into the nitty-gritty of it all.
Okay, great.
So
Yeah.
I guess let's just start with this. What exactly does pressure balance control even mean in this context?
So you can think of it this way.
Yeah.
You're injecting molten plastic into a mold.
Okay.
It's kind of like trying to fill a complex balloon sculpture
Yeah.
perfectly.
Right.
You need just the right amount of pressure in every single nook and cranny to get that desired shape
Right.
without any weak spots or deformities.
No.
That's essentially what pressure balance control is all about.
So if the pressure isn't balanced, you could end up with like
Exactly
a
it.
wonky bottle or a phone case that cracks easily.
Warping, shrinkage,
Okay.
uneven surfaces, all signs that that pressure wasn't properly controlled during that molding process. Yeah.
It's like when you try to inflate one of those giant inflatable pool toys,
Yeah.
and one section ends up bulging weirdly because of the uneven air pressure.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
When it comes to injection molding,
Right.
there are a lot of factors that can affect that pressure balance.
Well, let's start unpacking those factors then.
Okay.
Our sources dive deep into the design elements that come into play.
Yeah.
One that stood out to me was gate design.
Ah, yes, the gate,
Yeah.
the entry point for the
Right.
molten plastic into the mold.
Yeah.
It might seem like a small detail, but
Yeah.
its design is absolutely critical for controlling how that plastic flows
Right.
and distributes pressure
Okay.
throughout the mold.
It's like the doorway to a party.
Yeah.
If it's too small, you're going to have a bottleneck. And if
Exactly.
it's in the wrong spot, you're going to have like uneven crowd distribution.
One of the sources uses a great analogy.
Okay.
Imagine trying to fill a swimming pool
Oh,
with
okay.
a single garden hose.
Okay, yeah.
It's going to take forever,
Right.
and you'll likely end up with some areas overflowing while others are barely filled.
I can already picture that chaotic mess.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you use multiple hoses strategically placed around the pool,
Okay.
you'll get a much faster and more even fill.
Right.
That's essentially what multiple gates,
Yeah.
or a well-designed single gate,
Right.
can achieve in injection molding.
So it's about ensuring that the molten plastic flows smoothly
Yes.
and evenly throughout the mold cavity.
Exactly.
What are some of the key considerations when designing these gates then?
Well, first and foremost,
Yeah. Location.
location is key.
Okay.
For simple shapes, a
Right.
single gate in the center might suffice.
Gotcha.
But for more complex parts with intricate features,
Yeah.
you'll likely need multiple gates
Okay.
strategically placed
Right.
to ensure that the plastic reaches every corner with the right amount of pressure.
So it's like having a sprinkler system for your lawn, making sure every area gets watered evenly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then you have to consider the size and shape of the gate itself.
Right.
Larger gate allows for faster filling,
Okay.
but you might end up with excess plastic that needs trimming later.
Oh.
Smaller gates restrict flow,
Right.
which can slow down the process.
So it's a balancing act between
Right.
speed and precision.
And the shape of the gate
Yeah.
can also influence how the plastic flows and distributes that pressure.
Okay.
You have fan gates, which spread the flow out like a fan pin gates,
Okay.
which create a more focused stream,
Got it.
and various other shapes, each with its own advantages and disadvantages.
It sounds like there's a lot of nuance to gate design.
There is.
Yeah.
Thankfully, we've moved beyond trial and error in many cases.
Yeah.
Nowadays,
Yeah.
engineers use sophisticated simulation software
Oh, wow.
to test out different gate designs virtually
Okay.
before they even create a physical mold.
So they can basically see how the plastic will flow and where the pressure points will be
Exactly.
before any actual molding happens.
It's like having a virtual laboratory where they can experiment with different gate configurations,
Okay.
size, shape, location,
Right.
analyze the results
Got
to determine the optimal design
it.
for
Okay.
achieving that perfect pressure balance.
That's incredible. It seems like this software is like a real game changer
It is.
for injection mold design.
Absolutely.
Now, our sources also mention the runner system
Yes.
as a crucial element in pressure balance control.
It is.
What exactly is that?
So think of the runner system as the network of channels that carry the molten plastic
Huh?
from the injection machine to the gates and ultimately into the mold cavity.
So it's like the plumbing system for the molten plastic.
Exactly. Yeah. Just like with plumbing, you want to make sure that that flow is smooth and consistent to maintain the right pressure throughout the system.
Okay.
Any bottlenecks or sharp turns can disrupt that flow and lead to problems.
All right. So what are the key things to consider?
So one of the most important factors is the shape and size of the runners.
Shape and size.
Ideally, you want smooth, rounded shapes.
Okay.
Like circular or trapezoidal cross sections to minimize resistance to the flow of plastic.
Makes sense. I'm all about minimizing resistance.
Right.
Yeah.
And the size of the runners needs to be carefully calculated
okay.
to ensure that there's enough volume to deliver the right amount of plastic to the mold cavity.
Gotcha.
Without creating too much pressure drop.
Okay.
It's all about finding that Goldilocks zone.
Oh, right.
Not too big, not too small, but just right.
I imagine the size of the runners would also be influenced by the type of plastic being used.
Absolutely.
And the size and complexity of the part being molded, right?
It's a complex equation.
Yeah.
With many variables.
Right.
And that's where experience and expertise come into play.
Of course.
But thankfully,
yeah,
we have those simulation tools we talked about earlier to help us get it right.
Okay. So we've got shape and size covered.
Yep.
What else is important when designing the runner system?
Symmetry.
Okay.
You want to make sure that the runner system is as symmetrical as possible.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with a multi-cavity mold.
Yeah.
That's producing multiple parts at once.
Right.
A symmetrical layout ensures that the molten plastic flows evenly to each cavity, minimizing the risk of inconsistencies and defects.
That's like having a perfectly balanced scale. Exactly.
Yeah, making sure each side receives the same amount of weight.
And finally,
you
need to think about the overall layout of the runner system.
Okay.
You want to minimize the distance the molten plastic has to travel.
Yeah.
Which in turn helps maintain that pressure balance.
It's like planning efficient routes to avoid traffic congestion in a city.
Perfect analogy.
Okay.
A well-designed runner system will have a smooth, streamlined flow.
Yeah.
That delivers the molten plastic to the gates with minimal pressure loss.
Gotcha.
And just like with gate design, we can use those handy simulation tools to optimize the runner system layout and predict how the plastic will flow through it.
This is really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing to see how much thought and engineering goes into something that seems so simple on the surface.
And we've only just scratched the surface.
Really?
There are even more advanced techniques like hot runner systems.
Which help maintain a consistent temperature for the molten plastic throughout the runner system.
Ooh, tell me more about these hot runner systems.
Okay, so imagine a traditional runner system.
Okay.
As the molten plastic flows through the channels, it starts to cool down.
Okay.
Which can increase its viscosity.
Right.
And make it harder to flow smoothly.
Oh, right.
This can lead to pressure drops.
Okay.
And inconsistencies in the final product.
So it's like when honey gets cold and thick.
Exactly.
Yeah, it doesn't flow as easily.
But with a hot runner system, the runners are heated externally, keeping the plastic at a consistent temperature throughout its journey to the mold cavity.
So it's like having a heated pipeline that keeps the plastic flowing smoothly and prevents it from solidifying prematurely.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm starting to see how these hot runner systems can make a big difference in maintaining that crucial pressure balance.
Yeah.
Are they suitable for all types of injection molding applications?
They're not always necessary.
Okay.
But they can be a game changer for certain applications, especially for high volume production or when working with complex molds.
Gotcha.
They do add complexity and cost to the cooling.
Right.
But the benefits in terms of product quality and consistency often outweigh those factors.
It seems like there's a lot to consider.
There is.
When choosing the right type of runner system, is there a simple rule of thumb to guide those decisions?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's always a balance of factors, including the material being used, the complexity of the part, the required production volume, and of course the budget.
Of course.
But thankfully,
with
the help of those simulation tools, we can analyze different options and choose the best approach for each specific application.
Well, this has been an incredible deep dive into the world of gate and runner systems.
It is a fascinating area.
It is. Yeah. It's amazing how much engineering goes into these seemingly small details.
Yeah.
But we still got a lot more to unpack, right?
We do.
Okay.
Next up, we'll delve into the world of mold temperature control.
Okay.
and how that plays a crucial role in achieving optimal pressure balance
Right.
and producing flawless parts.
Okay.
Get ready for some more fascinating insights.
I'm ready.
All right. Welcome back.
Back for more.
I hope you're ready for more.
I am.
Because we're continuing our exploration of pressure balance control in injection mold design.
Definitely. We've already covered so much ground from those intricate gate and runner systems to the amazing capabilities of simulation software.
Mm-hmm.
So what's next on our agenda?
Well, remember that analogy we talked about earlier?
Yeah.
About pressure balance control being like a tightrope walk.
Of course, everything needs to be in perfect harmony to get those optimal results.
And one element that's absolutely crucial for maintaining that balance is proper venting.
Venting.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm intrigued.
Okay.
I'm picturing those little vents on my laptop that keep it from overheating.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm guessing this is a bit different.
You're on the right track
okay.
with the concept of releasing pressure.
Right.
But in injection molding, venting is all about allowing air to escape from the mold cavity as the molten plastic flows in.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
So if the air can't escape,
mm-hmm.
what happens?
It can actually cause a whole host of problems.
Oh, no.
Think about it as that molten plastic is injected into the mold.
Right.
It's pushing air ahead of it.
Okay.
If that air gets trapped,
it
creates these pockets of high pressure that can disrupt the flow of plastic and lead to all sorts of defects.
Like what kind of defects are we talking about?
Well, you might end up with short shots where the mold doesn't fill completely because the trapped air is blocking the flow. Or you could get burn marks on the surface of the part because that compressed air heats up.
Right.
And in some cases, you might even see surface imperfections or distortions caused by that trapped air.
Wow. So it's not just about aesthetics. It can actually compromise the structural integrity of the part.
Exactly.
So how do they solve this venting problem?
It's all about strategically placed vents in the mold.
Oh.
These vents are tiny channels, sometimes just a few thousands of an inch wide, that allow the air to escape as the plastic fills the cavity.
That's incredibly precise.
It is.
I can't even imagine trying to create those tiny channels.
It's a testament to the precision of mold making.
Right.
These vents can be created through various methods, like machining, laser etching, or even EDM, which uses tiny electrical sparks to erode the metal and create the channels.
That sounds really complex.
It's a delicate art form.
And I'm guessing the placement of these vents is critical as well?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You need to carefully consider the flow of plastic.
Right.
And the potential for air entrapment.
Okay.
To determine the optimal size, shape, and location of the vents.
Gotcha.
Too small, and they won't be effective.
Okay.
Too large, and they could compromise the structural integrity of the mold.
Right.
Or create unwanted marks on the part.
So it's another one of those delicate balancing acts we've been talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And just like with everything else in injection mold design, simulation software plays a crucial role in optimizing vent design.
Okay.
Engineers can use software to simulate the flow of plastic and air within the mold.
Right.
And identify potential areas for air entrapment.
So they can fine-tune the venting system before they even create the physical mold.
Precisely.
That's really helpful.
It helps ensure that the mold will produce high-quality parts with minimal defects right from the start.
That's amazing. I'm starting to see how all these different elements, the gates, the runners, the vents, all work together to create that perfect pressure balance.
They do. It's like an intricate orchestra.
I love that analogy.
With each instrument playing its part to create a harmonious symphony of plastic molding.
Okay, so we've talked about the mold design.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the plastic itself?
Absolutely.
Does the type of plastic play a role?
The properties of the plastic material itself can have a significant impact on how it flows and behaves under pressure.
Oh, right. We haven't really talked about the plastic itself.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of properties are we talking about?
Well, there's viscosity,
okay,
which we touched on earlier when we talked about hot runner systems.
Yeah.
That's essentially the thickness or resistance to flow of the molten plastic.
So like honey versus water.
Exactly.
Okay.
Honey has a higher viscosity than water.
Right.
Which means it flows more slowly.
Yeah.
And requires more pressure to move it through a channel.
Okay.
Same principle applies to molten plastic. Different types of plastic have different viscosities, which can affect how they fill the mold and distribute pressure.
Okay. What other properties are important?
Well, there's also the melt flow rate, which is a measure of how easily the molten plastic flows under a given pressure.
Right.
Then you have the shrinkage rate,
Okay.
which refers to how much the plastic shrinks as it cools and solidifies.
Gotcha.
And even the material's tendency to absorb moisture from the air can affect its behavior during molding.
So it's not just about choosing the prettiest color.
Definitely not.
Or the cheapest option.
Engineers need to carefully consider all these factors.
Right.
When selecting the right type of plastic for a particular application.
Right.
They need to think about the strength, flexibility, temperature resistance.
Okay.
And even the chemical compatibility of the material.
Yeah.
Depending on what that product will be used for.
It's like a giant puzzle.
That's a great way to put it.
Where all the pieces have to fit together perfectly.
And sometimes you need to use multiple types of plastic in a single mold.
Really?
To achieve those desired properties and functionality.
How does that work?
It's called multi-shot molding.
Multi-shot molding.
And it's a fascinating process.
Okay.
It allows you to create parts with different colors,
okay,
textures, or even functionalities all in one go.
So like a toothbrush with a soft grip and hard bristles.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or a phone case with a rigid outer shell and a flexible inner lining.
Right. That makes sense.
The possibilities are endless.
But I imagine it adds another layer of complexity.
It does.
To the whole pressure balance equation.
You have to carefully consider how the different materials will interact with each other during the molding process.
Okay.
Their viscosities, melt temperatures, and shrinkage rates all need to be compatible.
Right.
To ensure that they bond properly.
Gotcha.
And that final product is free from defects.
It sounds like a delicate balancing act.
It is.
Juggling all those different variables.
But thankfully, we have those trusty simulation tools to guide us.
Right.
They allow us to simulate that injection process with multiple materials and predict how they will behave.
Gotcha.
Helping us to optimize the mold design and processing parameters to achieve that perfect pressure balance across all materials.
It's amazing how technology is transforming this entire process.
It truly is.
It allows us to create increasingly complex and innovative products while ensuring consistent quality and efficiency.
Yeah.
Well, I'm blown away by all the science and engineering that goes into something as seemingly simple as injection molding.
Right. And we've only just scratched the surface.
Really? What kind of advancements are we talking about?
Well, one exciting area is the rise of micromolding.
Micromolding, what's that all about?
Imagine creating incredibly small and intricate plastic parts.
Okay.
Some even smaller than a grain of rice.
Wow, that's tiny.
That's micromolding.
What kind of products would use such tiny parts?
Think medical devices like catheters and implants.
Oh, great.
Tiny electronic components for smartphones and wearables.
Wow.
Even microfluidic devices for lab-on-a-chip applications.
It's amazing to think that something so small can have such a big impact.
It truly is.
Yeah.
But micromolding presents unique challenges when it comes to pressure balance control.
Okay.
The tolerances are incredibly tight.
Yeah.
And even the slightest variation in pressure can have a significant impact on the quality and consistency of the final product.
So it's like performing surgery on a microscopic level.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It requires specialized equipment, advanced mold making techniques, and an even deeper understanding of the science behind pressure balance control.
So it's pushing the boundaries of what's possible in injection molding.
Absolutely.
And another area where we're seeing incredible advancements is in the use of additive manufacturing or 3D printing to create molds.
Uh-huh.
Oh, 3D printing. Mm-hmm. I've heard so much about it.
Yeah.
How is it being used in injection mold design?
So traditionally, injection molds are made through subtractive manufacturing processes.
Okay.
Where you start with a block of metal and remove material to create that desired shape.
Like carving a statue out of marble.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
But 3D printing allows us to build molds layer by layer from a digital design.
That sounds so much more efficient.
It is.
What are the advantages of using 3D printing for molds?
Well, for starters, it allows us to create incredibly complex and intricate mold designs.
Right.
That would be difficult or even impossible to manufacture using traditional methods.
Like those micro molds we were just talking about.
Exactly.
Right. Okay.
It also allows for greater design freedom.
Okay.
Enabling us to create molds with conformal cooling channels.
Right.
Intricate venting systems.
Yeah.
And even embedded sensors for real-time monitoring of mold temperature and pressure.
Wow, that's next level stuff.
It is.
So 3D printing is basically revolutionizing mold making.
It's certainly having a major impact.
Yeah.
It allows for faster prototyping, greater design flexibility, and the ability to create molds with enhanced performance characteristics.
It sounds like a win-win for both designers and manufacturers.
It truly is.
Yeah.
And as 3D printing technology continues to advance,
right,
we can expect even more innovative applications
okay.
in injection mold design.
Well, this is all incredibly fascinating.
It is.
It's amazing to see how technology is constantly pushing the boundaries
yeah.
of what's possible in manufacturing.
It is.
I'm ready for more.
All right.
What other wonders await us
okay.
in the world of pressure balance control? Okay, so after all that we've covered about pressure balance control, I'm starting to see those everyday plastic products in a whole new light.
It is amazing, isn't it?
It is.
You know, once you understand the intricacies of the process,
right.
you can't help but appreciate the engineering
oh, yeah.
behind even the simplest plastic objects.
Exactly. And our listeners probably feeling the same way. So
right.
for this final part of our deep dive, let's bring it all together and explore some real-world examples of how these principles are applied in practice.
Perfect. I think it's time to showcase the unsung heroes
okay.
of pressure balance control.
All right.
Those everyday products that we often take for granted.
Okay. I'm ready for some concrete examples.
Okay.
Where should we start?
Let's begin with something seemingly simple yet incredibly ubiquitous.
Okay.
The humble plastic bottle cap.
Yes, the bottle cap. I must use dozens of those every week.
Right.
I'm guessing there's more to their design than meets the eye.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about the requirements for a bottle cap.
Okay.
It needs to be strong enough to withstand repeated use.
Right.
Create a tight seal to prevent leaks.
Right.
And be manufacturable quickly and efficiently on a massive scale.
And let's not forget about those little tamper-evident rings.
Yes, of course.
Those are crucial for safety and consumer confidence.
Absolutely crucial.
So all these features have to be incorporated into a design
right.
that can be produced consistently and reliably through injection molding.
Exactly.
And achieving that comes down to
pressure balance control.
You guessed it.
Yes.
So walk me through it. How do those pressure balance principles that we've been discussing play out in the design of a bottle cap?
Well, it starts with the gate design.
Right.
Remember, we want that molten plastic flowing smoothly and evenly into the mold cavity.
Yeah.
Avoiding any areas of excessive pressure buildup.
Right. Because that could lead to defects like warping or
right.
unevenness.
For a bottle cap,
yeah.
a single gate located in the center of the cap
okay.
is often the most efficient approach.
Okay.
It allows for balanced flow
right.
and eliminates the need for multiple gates,
okay.
which can add complexity and cost to the mold.
Makes sense, but what about those intricate threads on the inside of the cap? How do they get molded so precisely?
That's where the precision of the mold itself comes into play.
Okay.
The mold cavity has to be machined with incredible accuracy to create those tiny threads,
right.
ensuring a perfect match with the bottle's neck.
Wow.
And of course, the pressure balance during injection has to be just right
yeah.
to ensure that the plastic flows into those tiny grooves
okay.
and solidifies without any imperfections.
It's like a microscopic work of art.
It is.
I never realized how much detail goes into something as seemingly simple as a bottle cap.
It's a great example of how seemingly mundane objects
yeah.
often involve a surprising level of engineering and precision.
Totally. So we've covered bottle caps. What other everyday products rely on these pressure balance principles?
Well, think about all the other plastic items you encounter daily.
Okay.
Phone cases, toys, storage containers.
Okay.
Even the components inside your electronics.
Wow, the list goes on and on. I'm starting to see injection molded parts everywhere.
They really are ubiquitous. And the same principles apply across the board.
Okay.
From simple shapes to complex designs.
Speaking of complex designs, what about larger, more intricate parts, like those used in cars?
Yes.
I can imagine that pressure balance control is even more crucial in those applications.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Think about a car bumper, for example.
Right.
It needs to be strong.
Yeah.
Durable and able to withstand impacts.
Of course.
Any warping or inconsistencies in the plastic could compromise its structural integrity.
Yeah, that's a scary thought.
Right.
So how do designers tackle the challenges of molding such complex car parts?
It starts with a deep understanding
okay.
of the part's function
right.
and the stresses it will be subjected to.
Right.
They need to select the right type of plastic
yeah.
with the appropriate strength, flexibility, and impact resistance.
Okay.
And then, of course, they yeah. need to design the mold and the injection process
right.
to ensure that perfect pressure balance throughout.
So it's not just about the mold design itself, yep. but also the material selection and the processing parameters.
It's a holistic approach
okay.
that considers all the factors
Right.
that can influence the final product quality.
And thankfully, we have those powerful simulation tools to guide us.
We do.
Allowing us to test and refine our designs virtually before we commit to
right.
expensive tooling and production runs.
Exactly.
It's fascinating to see how all these elements come together, but beyond functionality and structural integrity.
Yeah.
What about the aesthetics of the final product?
Aesthetics are incredibly important as well.
Of course.
Consumers expect products that look good and feel good in their hands.
Right.
And achieving those smooth, glossy surfaces
right.
and sharp, precise details
yeah.
also comes down to pressure balance control.
Right. Nobody wants a lumpy, bumpy phone case.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Uneven pressure distribution during injection
yeah.
can lead to surface imperfections,
right.
sink marks, and other blemishes
right.
that detract from the product's visual appeal.
So achieving that perfect pressure balance is essential for both form and function.
Precise.
All right. And as technology continues to evolve,
yeah.
we can expect even more innovative applications of injection molding in the future, pushing the boundaries of both aesthetics and functionality.
Hmm.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Give us a glimpse into the future of injection molding.
Okay.
What kind of advancements are on the horizon?
Well, one area that's generating a lot of buzz
okay.
is the development of bio-based plastics.
Okay.
Made from renewable resources like plants or algae.
So we can have sustainable plastics that are good for the planet. That's incredible.
It is a very promising development.
Yeah.
But these new materials often behave differently than traditional petroleum-based plastics.
Okay.
It might have different viscosities,
right.
melt temperatures, yeah. and shrinkage rates.
Right.
Which means we need to adapt our molding processes
okay.
to accommodate their unique properties.
So it's a whole new frontier for injection mold design.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge that engineers are eager to embrace.
Yeah.
They're constantly experimenting with new materials and techniques,
okay.
pushing the boundaries of what's possible in injection molding.
It's inspiring to see how innovation and sustainability are driving the future of manufacturing.
Absolutely.
Well said.
And it's a reminder that even in a world dominated by digital technology,
right.
the physical objects we create and interact with
right.
still play a vital role in our lives.
I have to say, this deep dive has completely changed my perspective on injection molding.
I'm glad to hear it.
I never realized how much science, engineering, and artistry go into creating
right.
those everyday plastic products we often take for granted.
It's a field that's often overlooked.
Yeah.
But it's truly fascinating once you delve into the intricacies of the process.
And I'm sure our listener feels the same way.
I hope so.
They came to us wanting to understand pressure balance control.
Right.
And I think we've given them a pretty comprehensive overview.
We've covered a lot of ground.
We have, from the fundamentals of gate and runner design
yep.
to the importance of venting and material selection, and even touched on some of those exciting advancements that are shaping the future of injection molding.
Exactly.
Any final thoughts you want to leave our listener with?
I would simply encourage them to keep exploring the world around them
right.
with a curious mind.
Right.
The next time you pick up a plastic object,
yeah.
take a moment to appreciate the ingenuity and precision that went into its creation.
Right.
It's a testament to the power of human innovation.
Beautifully said. And on that note,
yes,
we'll wrap up our deep dive into the fascinating world of injection mold design.
I hope you enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed the journey and learned something new along the way. Until next time, stay curious.